proclaiming the good news to a needy world. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I am Pastor Chris Gordon. We are so thankful to have this privilege to bring the gospel to you. We air across the U.S., Canada, and even the continent of Africa. The Lord has opened a great door for us to bring the message of the truth of Jesus Christ and His salvation to so many people. So we're grateful that you are part of this project. Any way you can help us, you can do that right online at agradio.org. And we are incredibly grateful as it helps us to take the gospel to the nations. Today on Abounding Grace, we are looking at Jesus's kingdom teaching in Matthew chapter 13. In the parable of the wheat and the tares, are you frustrated with how things are going in the world? Do you wonder if anything is happening? Is salvation really occurring? All the frustrations, all the impatience that we have as Christians today, Jesus is giving us perspective in the midst of all of the struggle that He is saving His people. Not one of them will be lost, but we have to understand the nature of the opposition and learn patience and expectation of what is coming in the future. We're going to look at this today from Matthew chapter 13 in the parable of the wheat and the tares. The number is 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. We are on Facebook. Please find us there. And we love to hear from you. Any correspondence is read, and we're thankful you take time to write to us. Here is now the program from Matthew chapter 13, which I have titled Life Among the Weeds. This is part one. Thanks today for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio.
I had someone say to me this week, Pastor, what is going on in the world? What is happening? We have never seen this stuff before, and the intensity and the conflict is so difficult to process. What in the world is going on? And I said to him, things are certainly moving, at least in my short life, faster than I've ever seen at these last 10 years. The warfare between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light has really come to a painful head, at least at our particular time and in our country. It just seems like everybody is going through something. What is normal anymore? What is normal life anymore? All the conflicts, all the problems. What do you consider stable anymore? Whatever was it? I think it's easy in the midst of all of this, all the confusion, the cultural confusion, to forget the teaching of our Lord on this struggle. It's so good to be reminded of these things, that He answered this and He explained this for us in the kingdom of why we face so much conflict and why things are moving, and at times it really does rise up and rear its ugly head in ways that we never thought. And I thought this morning it would be a good moment to spend reflecting on the parable of the wheat and the tares, for it's one of those parables, probably one of the most clearest for understanding kingdom life, Christian life in the kingdom. And I believe that Jesus gives us this fascinating parable to explain life in the kingdom as Jesus is reigning over all. Why the conflict is so fierce, why things are the way that they are. It is, in this regard, a very practical parable to help us understand these things when there's so much confusion and so much heartache, so much anger at times, and so much frustration, which I know is real and you all face. How many times are you just sick of listening to the next news report and what people are saying and the most ridiculous of causes they are pursuing? You're tired of it. And the Lord is giving us something to help us understand how the kingdom comes. How the kingdom comes. So it's intended then to be a great encouragement to you as it explains for us the nature of the conflict and the struggle and its basic message then is, don't lose heart in the midst of all this. It is going somewhere. It's rapidly coming to an end. But there are certain things along the way where you are right now you need to consider. And that's what this parable is helping you. You need to consider, for if you don't consider these things, you will have wrong expectations. And your wrong expectations easily lead you astray. That's what we're going to look at with this particular parable. There is a time coming when all injustice... Notice there, he said, when all lawlessness is finally put away, there's a time coming when the righteous will shine like the sun in glory. But until then, you need to consider a few things. Jesus had just finished giving the parable by which he said, every other parable needs to be understood through the lens of this parable. And that parable was the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower. When I used to look at these parables, especially the parable of the sower, I had a limited view of their application. In other words, I tended to, as I look back in my past and applying these, I tended to be a little more narrow in looking at its scope to looking more so only at the visible church. And I think that is one application of it. But these are looking much more broadly than that. Jesus is describing his kingdom rule shown in the church, breaking into the present kingdoms of this world. And what are the consequences of that? What's happening because of that? What is really going on in the rule of Jesus, and what is the consequence of it breaking into this whole world? I believe that's the important thing to think about when it comes to the parables of the kingdom. You have to look at the full picture that he's giving us. And in the sower, he began by talking about the first thing was, this is why it's so important, it was response to his word. The word of the king. The word of the kingdom. There are those who, he said, first hear the word. Remember the four applications to this. There are those who hear the word, and it was like a farmer going out and throwing a seed, and it lands on the path. Those hearts are so incredibly hard that they cannot receive that word. They will not receive that word. It makes no effect in their lives, no impact on their lives. They immediately hear the word, and they are away from it. The devil comes and snatches away what was heard. This is a vast population of the world who wants nothing to do with the word of Jesus. And I have seen as a pastor, I don't know how many times preaching, how many people have hardened their hearts in face at the word of God. It's tragic. And he said, there's another kind of hearer who's like a soil that is full of stones in the soil, and the word is cast upon it. The word is the seed. The seed is cast upon it, and it immediately receives it with joy. It's excited about the word. But there's no root. And once persecution, once hardship comes because of that word, they're gone. Well, we've seen a lot of that. We've seen a lot of people who spring up quickly in the church, spring up quickly, hear the word, and all of a sudden, this is the greatest thing ever. They're in. Give it 3 months. Give it 3 months. I've seen this too many times in the ministry. They're gone. It just, when it got hard, they couldn't take it. That's the second kind of hearer that he talks about. And there's the seed that's going to be a little important for us this morning, a little bit. The seed that lands among the thorny places where we read that the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches, they're all about the present and living and money and all the cares of the world, all of that. They're not growing in the word. They can sit under the word, but it chokes them, so that they never really produce any fruit. They're just warm bodies. Warm bodies with the word. Then there's the soil that bears fruit. They hear the word. Jesus says they understand the word. And their life is full of fruit. Beautiful. Now, this could bring some distress to the true believer, couldn't it? What kind of hearer am I? The disciples are thinking a lot about these kingdom parables, and they're confused because why then, if it's supposed to be something that people should hear and understand, why are you speaking in parables? And they ask that question to Jesus. And Jesus says openly something very powerful in verse 10, doesn't he? Because you see, to you, it has been given to know the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not been given. Wow. Did you hear him? It is not, anyone who has any ability to hear the word of God and understand the word of God, you can't do that on your own. It's a gift. He gives that to you. He gave that to you. So implication then is, to be a good hearer is a gift of grace. To be a good hearer is to hear the word, understand the word, and bear fruit is all grace. It's the implication of that. But that's not given to everyone. Jesus is clearly speaking of sovereignty of God, election in salvation, something we don't talk about much anymore. It's all over the Bible. He says in verse 16, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see." See that? "And your ears, for they hear." I blessed you to hear. I blessed you to hear. The mysteries of the kingdom of God have been given to you. Being the good soil is the fruit of God's election. "Because I've chosen to reveal these things to you is the reason that you're able to hear and be a good soil and bear fruit." So, that is where this he has explained at this point why he's speaking in parables and what he's doing with parables and why he's answering in this way. So now what happens is he tells another parable of, you'll notice there, the weeds, and then he sends the multitudes away. They don't get the explanation. To them it's not been given. Jesus sends a multitude away, he goes into the house. The disciples come to him. "Explain to us, if we're blessed, the parable of the tares in the field. We want to know about the tares. We don't understand this. We don't get this. What are you saying to us?" Now remember, blessed are your ears, for they hear. "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore again, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy's done this.' So the servant said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.' Let them both grow up together is clearly the effect there and something you can't miss. As with parables, we begin to think of the situation. A good man built a beautiful field. It was a garden. Everything was beautiful in that garden. There was nothing wrong in that garden. It was lush. It was beautiful. His servants said to the man, "There's something terrible I see in that garden. I see all the beautiful plants. But in the midst of it all are tares growing up. What is that?" And he said, "An enemy came in. He slithered right on in there. He planted tares." He's explaining a dynamic that we have to understand and realize that is happening in this man's vineyard, in his kingdom, in his kingdom life, under his rule. Now, Jesus is about to be as open and as plain as I have ever read them, illustrating the principle, demonstrating the principle, blessed are your ears for they hear. He is as clear here as I've ever read him. Listen to the language here in verse 37. The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. That's me. The field is the world. The good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. The reapers are the angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. That is so clear, isn't it? Why? Why is Jesus so plain here and it seems so simple? In fact, I started thinking, can I really get a sermon out of this? You're saying, you didn't say that. But I did say that. It's so easy. Jesus is telling us that all throughout history, there has been a development in his world. That all things were made through him. In his creation, in his rule, within the great sphere of his kingdom rule, the devil has taken his seed and sown it. And he has intermingled among the good seed his seeds. Now, Jesus was talking about like this all the time when he dealt with the Pharisees. You are of your father, the devil. Not everyone is under the fatherhood of God. Jesus spoke this way a lot. And here he is telling us so clearly, describing this phenomenon that an enemy, a cowardly enemy, waited till everyone was asleep and he went into the good field of the good man and he went in and he dispersed tares there. Imagine somebody doing that to your beautiful garden. The word for tare here means an obnoxious weed. Fungus is on that weed. If any man or the word that he's using here, if anyone ate this particular weed with its fruit on it, they die. So it's really pretty plain. The Lord took his seed, his sheep, and he loved them. And he planted them. He had always planned to give them the kingdom. Nothing will stop that. All of their days, he nurtured them. He cared for them, defended them, sheltered them, gave his best for them. But the enemy came in and did an obnoxious thing in his kingdom, corrupted the whole thing. All the way back in Genesis chapter 3, we remember that Satan slithered right on into the garden, boys and girls. And since that time, the Lord declared after the fall, when we all plunged ourselves into sin, that there are two seeds in the earth. There are the seeds of the king, the one who would come, who'd crush the head of the serpent, and the seed of the serpent. Right there were the two seeds, and history has shown us that everywhere. And that is how the devil has worked in the field. You think about all the things that are happening right now, how the devil has ripped up everything good. How do we get to a point in the world that a believer is simply assaulted for holding to the moral stances of God's word? You don't see these two seeds in opposition everywhere? Of course you do. Now, why is he telling us this? It's not too hard to understand. It's hard to accept. It's not hard to understand. It's hard to accept. And the first reason that it's hard to accept, I've got two major reasons that it's hard to accept. The first reason that it's hard to accept is because of the great danger that people will live in this world, the good seed will live in this world, thinking that this is all normal to life under the sun. And if you think this is normal, you become indifferent to the development of the kingdom, to anticipating the coming of the king, to make this right. And you think this is an acceptable course of things in life, right? That all the problems that we see, all the evil that we see, we go forward and we begin to think little about it. All the injustice. We begin to think little about it and we slowly become desensitized to it all. It no longer affects us. We get up in our days, it's just normal. This is all normal. All the stuff we see that has now become ingrained into the new morality of society, whatever that might be, what they call it that, it's just normal. This is life. This is how it's supposed to be. And the first message here is, it is wrong to accept that this is right in the kingdom. This is not right. This is not right. All of this mess that we're in, all that we see, we are just so used to political discourse, some of the most vile speech now and things that I've ever heard. No one thinks any more of it. It's just, it's all normal to us. And at some point, people should stop and say, something's not right. You see how important this distinction is for your children, don't you? For if they don't understand this, they grow up thinking this is okay and right and normal. They accept life this way and thinking that this is normal, that this is what God has for us, really? And that all of the confusing things that are happening to them, they need to hear, it's not true. It's not true. It's the lie of the devil. What has happened to this world is bad. Something went terribly wrong. And here, the Bible is constantly telling us, you don't have an enduring city. It's coming to a quick, swift end. You have a home promised to you in heaven where, and think of the beautiful phrase in 2 Peter, where I promise you righteousness shall dwell forever. And this becomes so important for us then, for at the heart of our prayers has to be what we were told to pray, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Make this right. Make it right. Because of the awful damage that the tares are doing to the wheat, think of all the theft, violence, what we consider normal today. It's not God's way. It's not God's way. Jesus doesn't want us to accept this that way, as normal. We are to have righteous anger over the enemy, not only of death. It's one of the few things that, few reasons I really like a funeral. It's because I get to, at that moment, defy death because Jesus beat it. The rebellions of the enemy and of the tares who've trashed this beautiful field. There's a second great reason. There's a second great reason. Did you notice verse 26? Look at it. So when the plants came up again and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds? And he said, the enemy's done this. So the servant said, then do you want us to go and gather them? And he said, no, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. I think this is a fascinating moment in the parable to ponder something that Jesus is emphasizing. That in other words, Jesus is saying with this obnoxious weed that is growing in the kingdom, there are certain stages of growth with the weed and with the wheat that you can't tell a difference. In the early stage, they're still a blade. They have no fruit, no buds, no heads. It's not until the grain begins to grow out and fill out that a major difference begins to appear. On the blades, their own kind of bad head, and on the wheat, their own kind of good head. What is being described for you? There's a time you can't tell. Tares grow up, And for a moment, you can't tell, and they have a moment of glory. But at some point, the kind of fruit appropriate to what kind of son they are shows itself. And when Jesus said, you're going to know them by the fruit that they bear. That's how you're going to know. They bear certain kinds of fruit, and that's how you can tell. But notice Jesus says it doesn't show until they bud. So the question of the angels is really important. Do you want us to go and fix this right now? We're ready. You tell us. We'll put a stop to this right now.
Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more.